Okay, we're back at it.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
So we won Oklahoma and it was state. And it was state.
We are back at it. Welcome back to another edition of the Pistols Firing Podcast. I'm Carson Cunningham, joined as always by Colby Powell. Colby, at long last, Oklahoma State has a head men's basketball coach.
Let's do it, baby. Introductory press conference in the books. He said all the right things, Carson. We're one for one on knocking it out of the park at the mic.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that sentiment. And look, I think most folks were kind of like, you know, why not do an emergency podcast? Well, we had pretty much already done it before the hire was made official. We had kind of gone over the things I had heard, and I had said last Friday that I think they were just waiting on the buyout and we should have resolution by April 1st. That's essentially what happened. And so it's not a surprise. We knew he was going to be the head coach based on all the information that was out there, but we didn't know a ton about him. I found that, Colby, I just kind of want to run through the things I liked about his press conference, things that left an impression on me. And first and foremost, it's interesting to learn more about Steve Lutz as a person. Before I get to that too, I do want to speak about Chad Weiberg, who got up and spoke. I thought he was very classy. He right off the top thanked Mike Boynton, which I thought was a very classy gesture. And he kind of dove into to what he was looking for. And it was pretty much what we all said he was looking for. He's looking for a guy with head coaching experience and a guy who's won. And, that's pretty much what it comes down to. But I really like Chad Weiberg. He is, like I've said this many times, we all know his background. We all know his family story. And I've gotten to interview him several times. And he's always come across as such a genuine person. And his voice tends to crack a little bit because he's an emotional guy. And I don't know about you, Colby, but I identify with that. Like I'm a bit of a softy. When I watch movies, I can get choked up. Especially speaking in front of a group of people, it really makes you, at least for me, it makes me look a lot inward and feel things even more emotionally. I'll never forget. I spoke at my aunt and uncle had a big celebration out in Clinton, Oklahoma, the Britons, Kevin and Doris. And people were speaking about them for their 50th wedding anniversary. And I got up there and spoke, and they have four boys, and I got choked up just saying, you know what? I'm an only child. I never had brothers. These guys, when I was growing up, were kind of like my brothers, and I got emotional. So I really like that about Chad Weiberg. I think it makes him real. He's not just one of these stuffy ADs. He's an OSU guy through and through. So before we get to Steve Lutz, I just wanted to mention that. And obviously Casey Shrum is aligned with Chad Weiberg as well. But that's the first thing that stuck out to me, Colby.
Yeah, Chad's great. I loved everything that he had to say when he was going through just kind of his checklist of what he was looking for. I'm the same way. I'm emotional whenever I speak to people. I've always kind of been emotional, and it's way worse since I had a daughter. As of yesterday, I have a 2-year-old daughter, so we got to celebrate her birthday.
Hey, happy birthday.
Yeah, I'll pass along a happy birthday to her from you and the Pistols Firing crew. But yeah, it's gotten worse since I had a 2-year-old. She makes me cry all the time. Let me ask you this, Carson. Have you ever spoken at a funeral?
No, and I don't think I could do it because literally every funeral I've been to, I tear up. And the thought of getting up there and attempting, like for people that I wasn't that close with, because I feel for the family, I see the families and how sad they are. And I always get choked up at funerals. I mean, I cried like a baby at Bob Berry Jr.'s, who was near and dear friend of mine. So there's no way I know I spoke for a living for 14 years on television. It's a totally different thing. I don't know if I could do it.
Yeah, I'm the public speaker of the family. I've lost 3 grandparents, and I've been the speaker at all 3 funerals. And let me tell you, that is a good way to get the waterworks going. The funerals bring it out of everybody. And I'm telling you, you look up there and you look out and you see your family looking back at you and they're crying. Whoo, those speeches are hard to get through. So, I almost started to wonder today if Chad was going to talk a little bit about his family and his history, because I would imagine that he and Coach Coach Lutz have talked about that. But yeah, everything Chad had to say in that intro, including right off the bat, thanking Mike Boynton, his wife Jenny, and their family for their time here, I thought was just, it was all class and it was everything you would expect from Chad Weiberg.
Yeah, I mean, Oklahoma State basketball's Twitter account, you know, posted photos of Steve Lutz yesterday going through Gallagher Iba, looking at the arena. And there was a pretty poignant photo of Chad showing him the Remember the 10 memorial there inside Gallagher Iba Arena. So that has to be super emotional for him. And I think it really probably made a huge impact on Steve Lutz. And first and foremost, I really, the word fit kept coming up a lot in when his name came up, when we looked at his resume and his background. My favorite thing that was said, and I can pull up the video here, someone tweeted it at me, was when he mentioned, like, he was like, sometimes, you know, just there's a fit. And here, I'll just play it for you here. I don't know if the audio will be great because we're playing this through my phone on the microphone, but this was probably my favorite part of the whole thing.
There's certain things in life that fit. And when you arrive, you know that you've arrived at home. And this is one of those days for me and my family.
That's as good as it gets. Or did you not hear it?
Oh no, I was telling you the audio is good. That was
okay. Sorry, yeah. I saw your text came up. But yeah, that to me summed up the entire press conference for me, because the fit is obviously there. He has the credentials, and sometimes you just kind of know. And I know he probably wasn't the first choice. We're all aware of that. But sometimes the first choice isn't always the right choice. And you know, there's sliding doors moments in coaching careers. I will always remember Bill Self. My dad and I talked about him a lot when he was an up and comer coach at Tulsa. He makes that Elite Eight, and boom, Illinois hires him, and we're like, the chance of him coming back to Oklahoma State are slimmer now. And then when he gets the Kansas job, you're like, well, that's over. And the timing just never quite worked with Bill Self, and he climbed the ladder too fast. I think Steve Lutz could potentially, I'm not saying he's going to be Bill Self, but he's in a similar stage of his head coaching career that Bill was. I know he doesn't have an Elite Eight on his resume, but the point is the timing seems to match up as perfectly with the fit with Steve Lutz. And that's the number one thing that I took away from this is it feels right. It looks right on paper. We don't know if he's going to win yet, but just from day one, I thought it was a grand slam type of showing from him, and just the person he is and things he said about being a fit for Oklahoma State basketball.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You say all the right things. Obviously, you'll have to see how that develops over time, but he just got to Stillwater, right? He's just beginning to learn what the program, the university, the town are about. It's going to take him some time, I think, to understand what it is that you and I remember about Gallagher Iba and what so many people listening to this remember about Gallagher Iba. But the guy clearly gets it, right? He clearly understands and has a deep love, I think, for college basketball. I thought him telling his story today during the press conference was interesting. For anyone who wasn't watching, he talked about starting as the second graduate assistant at Incarnate Word, which meant he was getting nothing off his tuition, and he was making like $2,000 a year as the second GA. He was working in restaurants at nights and on the weekends to make ends meet so that he could coach during the week, and he worked his way up through NAIA Division II. He was just all over the place working his way up because he knew he wanted to coach college basketball. That's what he wanted to do for the rest of his life. It was something that he was passionate about. And, you know, oftentimes you hear that with coaches where they have to grind through the days where they're making no money as the 10th member of a staff, and they have to work their way up. And that's what he's done. And like he said, he was in a low major program at Texas A&M Corpus Christi, went to a mid-major program at Western Kentucky, and his quote was, "And now I'm on top of the world in the best conference in the country, standing here in Gallagher Iba Arena." He said all the right things, and I think over time he will start to understand even more about what Oklahoma State basketball means and about what it. I don't want to word this too harshly, but less so what it means and more so what it meant. Because what it meant 20 years ago to me, whenever I was an 11-year-old, that's not what it means to people today. That's not what it means to an 11-year-old today. So how do you get back to that? He talked about attendance. He challenged the students to be there. He said all the right things. And I think with time, he'll just come to realize more and more how special of a job it is and how special of a place it is. And I truly believe that if a coach comes in and does some consistent winning, that people will start to show back up. And that program, I don't know if it'll ever be back to 1995 levels or 2004 levels, but I think if you start to do some consistent winning, that you can get that building back to a place that we're all proud of.
And we've seen it. We've seen Brad Underwood have that place ready to rock at the end of his first season. We've seen Mike Boynton at times, once there was any semblance of momentum and a big opponent comes to town, Gallagher Iba is full. We've seen sellouts at Gallagher Iba Arena for wrestling. I mean, if you just start showing signs of momentum, you know, signs that the fans should be behind the program, I think it'll come back in a hurry. Now, the Eddie days are 20 years ago. College basketball is different than 20 years ago, but people love Oklahoma State and people love Oklahoma State basketball. I think there were some serious donor funds used for Mike Boynton's buyout. That's the level of commitment, not just from fans, but from people with big pocketbooks that are fans of OSU basketball. And so again, I totally echo what you said about who he is as a person. And again, no coach is going to get up there and tell you what they're going to do wins and losses wise. We want to get to know who the person is that is now going to be the leader of Oklahoma State basketball. I love the story he told about when he started out as a GA and the coach is like, "Hey guys, you're going to paint the locker room. I'll come back and get you for lunch." Like, you can't start from much more humble beginnings than that in a coaching career. You know, a lot of guys skip the line that are a star player. They automatically get, some cush assistant jobs elsewhere. Steve Lutz is a grinder, man. That's another thing that stuck out to me is he is all about hard work. He talked extensively about that. But this guy has had to work for everything. And as Chad Weiberg mentioned, he has paid his dues and he has earned this opportunity. And it was fascinating to me to hear his upbringing, you know, youngest of six kids. That another story that stood out to me probably the most of all of them, besides the one I shared earlier, was talking about his father working for like the telephone companies and, you know, worked on the telephone lines out in 110 degree heat in Texas. And they never missed a day of work. And I think that's the common thread you keep hearing about Steve Lutz is hard worker. He said it a ton. Chad Weiberg did. All of his coaches he's coached under have said that. I've had people text me about that, about Steve Lutz. This grinder is the word that's been used several times to me. And that's clearly been the hallmark of his rise, because it has been a fast rise in terms of a head coaching position. But I thought learning about his upbringing and his background really, to me, Colby, was very moving and kind of shone a light on just who he is as a person as well.
Yeah, I think he said it was 47 years that his dad worked for the phone company and never missed a day. And that was instilled in him. And you talk about him being a grinder. And whenever he started talking about basketball and his philosophy, you know, he talked about some of the offensive stuff. But then he said, "I'm a defensive coach first and foremost." And he referenced his own playing career. And he said, "Look, I played, but the only way I could get on the floor was to play hard on defense. That is how I got on the floor. Those are his roots," right? So he talked about his offense, wants to get a shot up in 12 seconds. That stuff's all great. But then he also had, you know, the basketball quote, which is, "Your shot's not going to be there every night, but if your defense is there every night, you can win some games even whenever they're not falling." He was saying all the right things today, and I think there's a lot of reason for the Oklahoma State fan base to be excited. I think whenever I had it turned on, there were like 1,500 people watching something like that, which is pretty good for middle of the day on Thursday when people are at work. So, yeah, I think people are excited about the future of Oklahoma State basketball from the standpoint of Steve Lutz being in, but like you mentioned, the investment from donors, and I think just a new energy surrounding the program. Everything under Mike Boynton, it just felt like it was doomed from the start with the NCAA investigation, and then Cade gets here, and then you get a postseason ban, and you can't pack GIA out whenever you've got the number one player in the country because of the COVID rules, and it just nothing went right. And now all of the NCAA sanctions are in the past. You've made the switch to a new head coach, and it just feels like you're turning the page to the next chapter of Oklahoma State basketball, and it's just a chapter that we all really want to read. It's like it's that show that you can't wait for the next season to drop, but you just finished watching the last season, so now you've got to sit here for a year while they go out and they do all their production meetings and get it all ready. But I'm ready for the next season of this show to come out, because Steve Lutz has me pretty fired up. And I don't know about you, but a coach who comes out in his introductory press conference and says, "Yeah, we want to get our shots up in 12 seconds. Woo, buddy, you are talking my language.
Yeah, and that's not something we've really seen from Oklahoma State basketball really ever. You know, that was one of the big appeals, supposedly, of Travis Ford, you know, being a Rick Pitino disciple, that he's going to run and gun, full court press. That never really happened under Travis Ford. And that was some of the appeal when those were some of the talking points, rather, coming out of his hiring. And I think we've gone over all the numbers, you know, leading the country in adjusted tempo. Like, that to me will be a welcome sight for Oklahoma State basketball fans, because it's been a slog under the offense that Mike Boynton had. And even in the, you know, the Halcon days of Eddie Sutton, Colby, like, there were some grinder games in there. Speaking of the word grinder, you're talking some 53-51 wins from Eddie a lot. He prided himself on defense and ball control and ball movement. It's certainly going to be a change in philosophy for sure. And I think that can only lead to, now, the bottom line is winning, right? I mean, it doesn't matter what style you play. You don't win, people don't care. So that's first and foremost. But I do think the style will certainly help. And there was this interesting part of the press conference, Colby, where Steve actually committed his first turnover. He dropped the microphone and Larry Reese picked it up and said, "Coach, that's a fumble." And I think this was a small moment, but to me, it showed me a lot about Steve Lutz. Steve, very quick on his feet, says, "That's a turnover, not a fumble. I'm a little uncomfortable with you calling our games if you don't know the difference," something along those lines. And it's kind of at first I was like, "Ooh, Larry took a stray there when he was just trying to make a quip." But I thought it really kind of gave you some insight to what's gotten Steve Lutz to this point. He's not going to take any guff off of anybody. It was kind of a small moment, Colby, but it really stood out to me, kind of Steve being himself. And like, he doesn't take no crap off anybody. He doesn't care if it's Larry Reese. I thought that was a small moment, but I thought a real glimpse into who he is.
Yeah. And I think it's just, if anything, it's just a glimpse into him being a good communicator, good at talking and interacting with people, quick on his feet. I mean, those are features that people like, right? So yeah, I thought that was a good moment. We haven't talked about this. John Michael Wright, who is out of eligibility, so he will not be on the team next year. He was in attendance today. He was there, and he asked a question. He took the mic, and he asked Coach Lutz, "Hey, for the guys that are in the portal, and you said that you'd welcome them back, if they decide to come back and you get into some practices and you realize, hey, this guy's not necessarily a good fit for what I'm trying to do here, are you going to have a conversation with that player and tell him that you don't think he's a good fit for your system, or are you going to let him hang around and he's going to be on the bench next year?" And I thought that he had a good answer. That's a tough question from a player who was just on this year's team, who is clearly wanting to look out for the guys that he shared the basketball court with this year. And Steve Lutz said, "Look, I might be honest to a fault. I'm going to tell you." And I think I always think honesty is the best way to handle everything. People deal with an unfortunate truth better than a fortunate lie, because that lie eventually comes out. And I loved his response there, that he would be honest with players and make sure that everybody is where they need to be. So I thought that the moment with Larry Reese was good. And then I thought both the question and answer from John Michael Wright and Coach Lutz were very good as well.
What'd you make of that question? I mean, definitely a hard hitting one. You don't get many of those at introductory press conferences. So good on him for asking it. Was that more of a question to support his guys that are currently on the roster? Or was that a shot at maybe Mike Boynton for not telling guys they should probably go somewhere else to play, who aren't getting enough playing time? What did you make of the question itself?
I took it personally, in my own opinion, as more of just looking out for his guys. I think that he is an older guy. There's younger guys on this team. I mean, he's exhausted his eligibility, and with COVID years and everything, I don't know, I would assume he's 23, 24 years old. And you've got some 19-year-olds that are deciding what to do with their future. And I think he's just looking at those guys and wants to make sure that they all end up in the best place possible. For some of those guys, that's probably going to be Oklahoma State. And for some of those guys, I think we can say with pretty much certainty, it's not going to be Oklahoma State. So I took it as John Michael Wright wanting to look out for his guys and just kind of publicly say, "Hey, these guys need to be taken care of. They don't need to just get brought back because of whatever their recruiting stars were. If these guys fit your system, bring them back. If they don't, turn them loose, let them go excel elsewhere." So I didn't take umbrage with that question. To me, I thought he was just looking out for his guys.
Yeah, and he said he's honest to a fault. I mean, he let it slip a little bit that he's talked to players on the roster, some who were not there. Guys that who were there was Brennan Thompson. I had the list in front of me, but I lost it. But
Bryce Thompson.
What did I say? Brennan Thompson?
Brennan. I don't know who Brennan Thompson is.
He was asked about players in the transfer portal, and Lutz said, "I've spoken to everyone in the gym today and a few who aren't in the gym today." He says he's open to the guys who are in the portal to give him a chance. He says a couple of them have already chosen to leave Oklahoma State. Javon Small was not there. Brandon Garrison was not there. Someone else was not there, I think so. But what'd you make of the, obviously we knew he was going to be talking to players, but so Garrison, Brandon Garrison, Eric Daly, and Javon Small were not there. So that, those are guys that are in the portal. So that, that doesn't mean they're gone. Like, you can read into that two ways. One, it's they're gone, or two, that there's, they haven't made their mind up, so they don't want to show up and give people false hope they're coming back to a press conference. Just thought it was interesting. He kind of lifted the lid. He said some guys have decided already to leave. That's the point I was trying to make, I guess. But he kind of gave an update on the roster somewhat.
Yeah, I thought that that was a big slip. And whenever he said it, even I was like, oh, okay, he let that one drop. And that is probably honesty to a fault to let that drop in your introductory press conference. But look, he's not hiding anything. He understands that some guys are going to be leaving. And I think we all do too. And it's like Kyle Boone said whenever he was on with us a couple of weeks ago, roster turnover nowadays, like, you bring a new coach in, you expect that guys are going to leave. The reality is you're going to get other guys in the door that the new coach wants to be a part of his system, and you can still turn things over quickly. So I wouldn't say definitively that all three of those guys will be gone just because they weren't at the press conference today, but it wouldn't surprise me if all three were gone. This year did not go as planned, and then the guy that they all came to play for, who they spent 1 year playing for, is out the door. So wouldn't surprise me if those guys were gone. It did surprise me that Coach Lutz let that leak, but I think he wasn't trying to give canned answers. I think he was just up there kind of talking to people. And I liked that vibe. I thought the vibe of it was very Oklahoma State, that he was up there having a conversation with the people who were asking the questions and with the fan base, more so than giving canned, guarded answers, if that makes sense.
No, that does. Jamyron Keller was there. That would be big to keep him on the roster. And really, at this point, I think anyone you keep is a bonus moving forward. I noticed no one on Western Kentucky's current roster is in the portal, so that's interesting. And while we're on the topic, you know, everyone wants to know about Brandon Garrison. There's a lot of smoke out there, a lot of rumors that he would like to stay at Oklahoma State, that they're going to boost the NIL for him. And I think people really are overstating the lack of NIL funds for Oklahoma State, first and foremost. It's kind of chicken and the egg. If you're not winning, you're not going to get that level of NIL support. I think that support is back in a big way, and I think they're trying to keep Brandon Garrison. But kind of the wrinkle in all of this, Colby, is Mike Boynton is going to be an assistant coach at Michigan. And we all know the funds that Michigan has. And, you know, Brandon Garrison, Eric Daly, those are Boynton guys. Those are guys that wanted to play for Mike Boynton. But while I hear Brandon Garrison loves Stillwater and all that, I think it's going to be a real fight. And I don't know if Michigan's even coming after him yet. I'm kind of dancing around all of this by saying that there's a lot of uncertainty right now with Brandon Garrison.
Yeah, there definitely is. And maybe he goes, maybe it doesn't. I think that what you said about the NIL fund is spot on. Like, people were kind of there just wasn't any excitement around the Oklahoma State basketball program, so people weren't digging deep into their pockets to bolster it up so that you could go from 4 conference wins to 6 conference wins, I think is kind of how people were looking at it. But there's a new energy surrounding the program, and I do think that the NIL fund will be there to match that. Getting Brandon Garrison back would be phenomenal. I think that with what Coach Lutz wants to do, get up and down the floor. He's an athletic big man who can get good looks at the rim with good ball movement in those first 12 seconds, like Coach Lutz talked about today. So it'd be great to have him back. I would say right now, just me personally, I always kind of like to hedge my happiness sometimes whenever it comes to sports. And so I'm operating under the assumption that Javon Small, Eric Daly, and Brandon Garrison are all going to go elsewhere, then I will be pleasantly surprised if they decide to stick around. So I would guess that Garrison leaves, but that could just be me hedging my happiness as well.
Well, on the Chamber, again, you should sign up for the Chamber on Pistols Firing blog. There's some scuttlebutt that Brandon Garrison's liking some Instagram comments about Steve Lutz, liking some social media content. So I think he's willing to listen. And I think Oklahoma State's going to have a good shot to keep Brandon Garrison. Now, depends on how big the bag gets. Those are things that I'm not privy to, but I do think there are positive signs there. And what did you make about, what did you make of it? To me, it really appeared that Steve Lutz is kind of, you know, he's obviously older than us, Colby, but he really, to me, understands what Oklahoma State basketball is. He made a kind of a comment about, you know, players don't even know who Coach Iba is. They don't remember the Eddie Sutton days, but he certainly does. And I think a lot of people elsewhere forget just the tradition of Oklahoma State basketball. Now, granted, you can pick through that tradition without Eddie or Coach Iba, but those are two massive figures in the history of college basketball, you know, two Hall of Fame figures. To me, it really became clear to me that he has a real admiration for the program that Oklahoma State has traditionally. And I think that's one of the biggest things that appealed to him.
Yeah, he used the word, I believe, shaped. I think he said that Eddie Sutton and Henry Iba were responsible for shaping basketball. And he just really lauded those two men in particular and what they meant to the game. And I think he understands what those two meant to Oklahoma State and to its fans. And Henry Iba, obviously, to a lesser extent in the modern era, just because it was longer ago. That's how things work. The longer ago things were, the less they mean to people of the modern age. But I still think Eddie Sutton carries a big weight in and around Stillwater, just what he meant to the program, what he meant to college basketball, obviously. Better late than never, he did get into the Hall of Fame. So I think Steve Lutz, being from Texas, spending some time coaching, a good part of his coaching career in Texas. He said he spent a year in Garden City, Kansas, at a JUCO, I believe. I think he understands the area and understands how important Coach Sutton and Coach Iba were to the game and were to Oklahoma State. So, again, you say all the right things in the press conference. That's not an indicator of success. That's not predictive of what's going to happen in the future. But as far as today I think was a good day for Oklahoma State basketball as we all look to just press the reset button and hopefully Steve Lutz is the guy to do that and fill the seats again.
Yeah, and the things you mentioned about him being a Texas native, Dylan Buckingham from KFOR, my longtime friend, tweeted out a video of Steve did kind of a media scrum afterwards. I wanted to play this soundbite. This is exactly what we're talking about. This is courtesy again, Dylan Buckingham of KFOR.
This is home to me, you know, to be back in Texas, Oklahoma region and be able to compete in the Big 12 conference. It's the best conference in the country. And you're giving yourself an opportunity to compete for a national title every single year. If you're competitive in the Big 12, you're going to have a chance to compete for a national title. So if you're going to do this and you're wired to be as a competitor, you want to put yourself in a position to be able to win a national title. And obviously that's something that can be accomplished here at Oklahoma State. That's been proven before. This is
pretty good stuff. I mean, that'll get you going, right?
Yeah, no doubt. A guy talking about this is where he wants to be. This feels like home. I love that. This should be home. I hope this is home for a long time for Steve Lutz. That means he's having success, and he's happy, and we're happy. So hopefully this is just home from now on.
Yeah, and you know, just kind of my last few thoughts are, you know, he mentioned 13,611 fans being in the arena, and he talked about, you know, he's heard the stories of the hair standing up on the back of your neck. And I really do think that, you know, this could be a hire we look back on where Gallagher Iba is rocking again. Now, midweek non-conference games, probably not. But I do think people will make that trip. I don't think it's going to be empty if Steve Lutz has success. So overall, Colby, again, I think this is going to be a hire that looks even better as a result than it does on paper. And right now it looks really good on paper in terms of fit, in terms of all success, all the things we've discussed for the past week and a half or so. But I got a little goosebumps thinking of 13,611 fans being at GIA.
Yeah. This is what I want from Oklahoma State basketball. I want it to get to a point where I feel the need to spend my money to take myself, my wife, and my daughter to Gallagher Iba because there's a game happening in that building that I just can't stand to miss. That's what I want. I want there to be a game in that building, and I can't stand to miss it. And whether it's Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, Saturday at 11 in the morning, whatever time it's at, I just want to have that need to be in the building because it's going to be an event and it's going to be a moment, right? We've had so many of those in Boone Pickens Stadium over the past 15 years. I want another one in GIA. I want to take my daughter to one in GIA. So hopefully he's the guy to get it back to that point. I need Oklahoma State basketball to draw me in again like that.
Yep, that would be fantastic. Again, I get chills walking into an empty Gallagher Iba Arena, much less one that's sold out and they go on a 10-0 run and the opposing team calls a timeout. Like it doesn't really get much better than that. And I include Boone Pickens Stadium on that because, again, I grew up an OSU basketball fan first and foremost, and I just think there's something really special about GIA, and clearly Steve Lutz does as well. So anything else on your mind about the press conference today?
Did I mention that he wants to get a shot up in 12 seconds? Did I mention that?
Yes, you did.
Dude, I am so excited to watch just a full speed ahead, all gas, no brakes, if I can borrow from, was that Tom Herman's Texas squad that was all gas, no brakes? Or was that Sark?
That's still Sark, yeah.
That's still Sark. Okay, well, if I can borrow
that. He stole that from somebody. I mean, that's a pretty common phrase.
Yeah, he stole it, so I'll steal it. Yeah, I'm excited to watch the 12 seconds or less offense at Oklahoma State. He talked about wanting to get into their sets before the defense is set. And I just love the idea of whether you're having to inbound the ball or whether you're getting it on a rebound and going. He talked about looking for players who can handle the ball, who can pass. And I just love the idea of just wanting to get out and transition, get up the floor fast, and get a great look early in the shot clock before the defense can really clamp down on you. I just think it's an exciting brand of basketball to watch. I think college basketball needs more 12 seconds or less and less Tony Bennett. So I'm glad we've got one of the former.
Well, and to me, listening to him talk, you know, it's funny. He said he's a defensive coach, even though so much of the focus has been on his offense and the up-tempo stuff. But hearing him when he was describing what he looks for in players, it kind of reminded me of the Thunder. He wants every guy to be able to handle the ball and make quick decisions. Because as we mentioned on the last pod, you know, he runs this offense where there's options. There's guys have to be smart and they need to know where they're going with the basketball and they have to be able to handle the basketball. So that to me is where basketball has been going. And I think you can see that now with the Thunder. They have positionless basketball. They just have long rangy guys at every position. And that stuck out to me. I think that reminded me, he mentioned his motion offense that's very similar as well. I just, it kind of stuck out to me that, you know, it reminded me of the Thunder, which we of course watch on a nightly basis here in Oklahoma.
Yeah, no doubt. I like that comparison. And hopefully if he has anything remotely close to the success in Stillwater that Daigneault's having in Oklahoma City, then I think we'll be in a pretty good spot.
Yeah, I'd say so. Be remiss. This podcast brought to you by Chris's University Spirit, your one-stop cowboy shop. Be sure to shop at chrisuniversityspirit.com. We appreciate Chris's and, who knows? Maybe we'll, maybe Chris's this time next year, we'll be printing, you know, NCAA tournament shirts, Big 12 championship shirts. He's got a lot of work to do in terms of making those things happen. But I think you can clearly say, Colby, I think that he's going to at least make Oklahoma State basketball relevant again, whether that's going to the tournament, whether that's competing for the Big 12, who knows? But I think he's going to get them off the mat because they've been on the mat for quite some time. So again, we appreciate Chris's sponsoring the podcast. As always, we had some football related notes to get to. Mike Gundy, spring practice is underway. Had some quotes from his Tuesday press conference, and Kendall Daniels was a big topic. Again, a guy we talked about during the season, maybe not being as great in coverage, but can really just ball hawk. My New Year's resolution, one of them for Oklahoma State football was, I think they need to move Kendall Daniels, a linebacker, and lo and behold, Kendall Daniels, 6'4", 230 pounds of him. They've moved him pretty much. They're calling him a tweener. They're going to move him around a lot, as we know. But Mike Gundy says he's going to play a lot closer to the football, and I think that's a good thing for OSU.
Carson, what have we been saying for 4 months, 5 months? Kendall Daniels is great whenever he is closer to the line of scrimmage, when he's attacking the ball carrier, when he's able to just play freely and make plays and not have to worry about, you know, do I have the guy on the crosser? Do I have the guy running the go on the edge? It's just, I don't think that that was what he was best suited to. And clearly he and the coaching staff feel the same way. I think he has a lot better chance to play at the next level if he's playing linebacker and he's closer to the line of scrimmage. I think it's a phenomenal move. And I think anybody who's listening to this podcast probably knew what we were going to have to say about it, because it's something that you and I have both been asking for. I think we kind of knew it was the best play, but as I sat in the stadium and watched Oklahoma State versus BYU to close out the regular season last year, it was so apparent in the first half when BYU had a ton of success. Kendall Daniels was back off the ball playing, you know, 20 yards deep just in a traditional safety role. And then in the second half, he was up at the line of scrimmage. It might have been the first or second play from scrimmage in the second half, and he filled a gap that was there the entire first half, and that gap was gone. For the rest of the game, that gap did not exist, and BYU could not move the ball. I just think it's a great move to bring him down closer to the line. I think he will be a much more of an impactful player there. And if you've got Trey Rucker on the back end locking it down at safety, and if Kendall Daniels is able to thrive, we know the athletic ability is there. It's just been about getting him in the right spot to succeed and do what he's best at. And I think getting him closer to the line of scrimmage is going to be an absolute home run. And with the weight that he's put on, I don't know, Carson, he could be a real force next year. I think we're going to see the Kendall Daniels that we've all been waiting to see.
Yeah, he just excels in that role, right? Like, I remember distinctly the West Virginia game, him spying the quarterback and just going and hunting him down. And now he has put on weight. Gundy said he's gone from 204 to 240. His official listed weight is 230, which would make him the fourth heaviest linebacker. And for reference, Colin Oliver's listed at 235. Nick Martin weighs 210. So he clearly can make that transition day one of spring football. And I think it's one that's going to be good for him, because I think that's ultimately where his body has gone. And I think that ultimately fits his skill set even more than where his body has gone. I think maybe they've bulked him up knowing that's where he's best put. So I think that's a great, great move by the staff, and one we've been talking about for a long time. You know, people love to point out when we're wrong, Colby. I hope they point out when we're right. I mean, I've been on this for a long time. I know you have too.
Yeah, no doubt. I think he's going to be great there. And again, I think the combination of moving him down and Rucker, I think has really grown and has started to excel on the back end. You combine that with Nicholas Martin, who all he did last year had more tackles than anybody in Oklahoma State football in 40 years. And he's playing a good bit lighter than Kendall Daniels is playing. We also got some information, I guess. Nick Martin played injured most of the season. He hurt, I think it was a wrist against South Alabama in week three. And he said pretty much the rest of the season, anytime he was like, yeah, it would really hurt whenever I would like spin to drag somebody to the ground, or when I would land on it, or when I would twist it wrong, or kind of some impact. And I was like, oh, so just any play that was football. So football hurt him. That was in week three. And he still did everything he did last year. So year two under Brian Nardo, a new and improved Kendall Daniels in a new spot, everything coming back on offense. I don't think you're going to be able to talk me down off my 11-1 ledge that I'm out here standing on.
Yeah, I mean, they return nearly every starter. I mean, just in today's world of college football, that's got to give you an extra couple wins right there, let alone the fact that they went to the Big 12 championship game last year. So I think you can, if you just listen to Mike Gundy talk, I've said this since I started doing this podcast back in 2015, you can always tell when Oklahoma State's going to be good. When Mike's kind of got that gleam in his eye and he yucks it up a little bit, and he'll flat out tell you they look really good, like, that's a good sign, and that's where they're at right now. So just hopefully they can stay healthy, particularly on the offensive line. And again, I looked it up again recently. Oklahoma State's still 10-1 to win the Big 12. I mean, they're tied with like Iowa State. It doesn't make much sense to me. But I mean, Colby, if they, which I think was like the fourth or fifth best odds, maybe fifth or sixth, I can't remember off the top of my head. If Oklahoma State finished fifth or sixth in the Big 12 next year, isn't that a disaster? Isn't that a huge disappointment?
If Oklahoma State finishes fifth or sixth in the Big 12 next year, we're either going to have to explain it in one of two ways: either an injury bug that you can't possibly imagine, or we're all going to be having conversations about Mike Gundy that we're not having this year, because that's how it works. You win, everybody loves you. You have one bad year when expectations are high and everybody's ready to rain on the parade. I do think that there will be some close games next year that Oklahoma State will have to escape, but they did some of that this year with some younger guys and still figuring things out. You know, you've got a 24-year-old quarterback coming back for a seventh year. I think Oklahoma State will win the close ones. I think they'll be good enough to blow a few people out next year. I like the added depth at running back as well with AJ Green to hopefully take some of the load off of Ollie Gordon. Fifth or sixth in the Big 12, yes, Carson, would be an unmitigated disaster.
Yeah, and that's why I think that line is way, way, way off. So let's get to the Yingling Toast of the Week, brought to you by Yingling, America's oldest brewery. Be sure to find Yingling at your nearest location. They're everywhere now, and we appreciate them sponsoring our Toast of the Week. And, you know, it's almost Masters time, Colby. We got about a week to go. A week from today, the Masters first round will tee off. I'm going to have some Yingling on ice. Can't wait to watch that. So if you're watching either Oklahoma State Athletics or you're watching the Masters, be sure to pick up some Yingling to cool you down. And we appreciate them sponsoring our Toast of the Week. So what direction are you going in this week, Colby, for the toast?
Before I go to my toast, let me ask you a Masters question. How many screens do you go with on Thursday and Friday? Because weekend Masters viewing is great, but, you know, I don't totally care to watch the guys that are 12 shots back to start the morning at 8 a.m. But Thursday and Friday is a religious experience where you must watch every shot. So how many screens are you firing up for Thursday and Friday?
Well, I don't have the mobile TVs like you do where I move them around. From ours are mostly mounted. So I basically have the main screen, the big TV, and I got my iPad with like the quad box. And I'll jump audio based on who's in the quad box. Like if let's say Tiger's in top left, I'm going there. You know, if Ricky's on bottom right, I'm going there. And then I watch the main broadcast on the TV as well. But their app is just incredible. So I try to utilize that as much as I can. And now they do, I noticed, Colby, they do this watch party now. So you and I can literally like FaceTime each other, have like four or five people on there watching the Masters together. It's pretty cool.
I did not know that. That is good to know as we enter next week. Yeah, we've got the three TVs in the living room. So my plan is to make the main TV, the big screen in the middle. That'll just be the main feed. And then from left to right, I'll wheel another TV in there. So I'll have four total. And then from left to right, I can go, holes four, five, six, hold four and five on the left. And then I can go amen corner on the left center. And then on the far right, I can go holes 15 and 16. And then if I need to, I can bring my laptop in and I can have that pulled up to feature group coverage. So I think I could have as many as a five screen experience going at one time. And I don't know if my daughter's going to know what to think. We watch sports sometimes, but it's going to be a new experience seeing Daddy embrace the Masters.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. You already know which TV is going to have what on it, like in order. That's pretty incredible.
Oh, this is dialed in. This is a science.
I was going to say, I imagine you've done this for years, clearly. I've already warned my wife, like next week, I'm going to be a little out of pocket. Like last year, it was right before we got married. We got married April 21st. She was like astonished at how, no matter what we were doing, I had a screen on, like either it's my phone, my iPad carrying around with me. I had the Masters on a tablet or phone from the first tee shot till the final putt. And it frankly amazed her. And I know you feel the same way, but I just warned her, like, hey, I'm gonna be out of pocket next weekend. That's just part of the deal.
And it's just, and some people don't get it. It's the best way I can describe it is it's just a religious experience for golf fans to have that week, those 4 days, like Sunday, next Sunday, Masters Sunday. One of my wife's coworkers, her boss actually, is having a co-ed baby shower. And myself, Dana, and Layla, we're all invited. And I just had to tell her, like, I'm sorry, I'm not going. It's at 1 o'clock on Masters Sunday. It is at 1 o'clock on Masters Sunday. Carson, I'm not going. And does that make me the bad guy? I can't do it.
Nope, don't blame you a bit. Not going. Can't do it.
Oh, man. Good stuff. All right. Moving on. This is a few days late here, but this is when we're recording. I was going to give my Yingling Toast of the Week, and still am, to one Caitlin Clark. Carson, I don't know if you were one of the 12.3 million people that sat down Monday night and watched every second of that game.
I did watch.
I was, and it was the amount of pressure on her going into that game with everything swirling around Kim Mulkey. She's been in all the headlines for 2 weeks. The stuff with Angel Reese last year in the championship game. the amount of pressure that is just weighing her down right now. And all she does is come out there and drop 41. And what she did to open that third quarter, they were tied at halftime. She comes out in the third quarter, hits four threes in like 4 minutes. I think three of them were from 26 feet or longer. The other one, she like dribbled to the free throw line, took one dribble back out beyond the arc and just let it fly. It's appointment viewing right now as she's in this tournament and making her way through the tournament. And what she did on Monday night to knock Kim Mulkey, who's one of my least favorite people in all of sports, out of the tournament, with the amount of pressure that she had on her, it was just an all-timer of a performance in collegiate athletics. And she's just fun to watch. She's fun to root for. It's appointment TV. My in-laws are going to be here tomorrow and Saturday. My mother-in-law's birthday is on Saturday, and we were trying to decide what night to go to dinner. And I said, hey, whatever we do, I've got to be in front of my TV Friday night at 8 o'clock because Caitlin Clark's in the Final Four. I mean, that's where we're at right now with the way she's playing basketball. So Yingling Toast of the Week, Caitlin Clark.
I loved her reaction after one of her late threes where she was kind of just screaming out into the crowd. That was awesome. She's incredible.
Yeah,
my turn. Percy Green. You probably don't know who Percy Green is. He is from Del City, Oklahoma. He was recruited by Steve Lutz out of Garden City Community College when he went to Texas Corpus Christi. And I think this quote is why I'm going to give, in addition to just being named the new head coach of men's basketball, this quote really stands out to me even more so than some of the things we mentioned about who he is, Steve Lutz as a person. Green said, quote, "It's been 20 years, man, but he still calls me, texts me happy birthday. He's elite with X's and O's, but he's a better person. When he was at Texas A&M Corpus Christi, they came up and played OSU. He got me tickets. He doesn't have to do stuff like that. I hadn't played for him in 20 years. He's just a good dude." Like, talk about not forgetting the people that helped you get to where you're at. I mean, that's incredible. So I got to toast Steve Lutz. He's a heck of a basketball coach, clearly. Appears he's even a heck of a – he's just a really great person as well, because not many college basketball coaches, Colby, would do something like that.
No, you're 100% right. And that's one thing I think we've had the good fortune with Mike Boynton, and now turning the page to Steve Lutz, who seems like he's cut from a very similar cloth to what Mike Boynton was, just having good representatives of the program, good men who you feel proud to be leading Oklahoma State. So that's a great one. I recommend everyone read that story and just read up more about Steve Lutz, because you're going to be excited about Oklahoma State basketball when you do. He seems like the total package. I hope it all works out. I'm glad all the sanctions and everything are in the past, because he's going to have every chance to succeed. And I have no reason to believe that he won't.
Yep. Me too. So we're going to be on portal watch. I forgot Q Williams also in the portal for Oklahoma State. That recently happened this week. So there's guys in the portal. He's going to have to re-recruit them. He also talked extensively about that. That was really good stuff. So if you haven't watched his press conference, be sure to check it out. And I cannot wait, Colby. You know, I grew up in old Gallagher. I was in college during the Final Four run in 2004. I want Oklahoma State people under the age of 30 to experience that building when it's at full throat, because it's truly a biblical thing. I don't use that word lightly. I'll never forget. I was at the game after the plane crash against Missouri. It was truly a religious experience, because everyone in that building was so tight knit back in those days, going to all the same basketball games, seeing all the same people. I just hope Oklahoma State basketball can get back to that. You know, you don't have to win national titles or Final Fours or Big 12 titles. That wasn't the most important thing. It was the camaraderie of being in that building when OSU goes on a 15-0 run and the opposing team calls timeout, and that place just loses its mind. There is nothing I've experienced with Oklahoma State as an athletic department than that. Nothing comes close to that. So I'm looking forward to Steve Lutz kind of waking up the echoes in GIA.
I second everything you said there. And I would also say 21 and 23 bedlams at BPS come pretty close for me. I think that those are all. I was a little younger, to be fair. I was a little bit younger when Gallagher Iba was really in its, like, 100% prime. Like I said, I was 11 when they went to the Final Four in 2004. So I was probably a little young to have the vivid memories of those experiences. But some of the memories created lately in Boone Pickens Stadium, I think, have touched that same nerve with Oklahoma State fans.
That's certainly fair. But let me paint a picture for you here. And this is just 04. I'm running out to, we don't have to go back to the old Gallagher days. I'm a student. There's a line about 2 miles outside the house, outside GIA for students to get in when those doors open. When the clock hits like 25 minutes to game time, everyone's there. I'm talking first row to the very top, and it's loud. And when OSU takes the floor, it is nonstop noise from the time the final buzzer hits. It is when that, even during warmups, it was electric. And I hope you get to see that for, you know, a random Saturday 1 o'clock game or a, you know, big Monday, especially. There's truly nothing like it. And I hope we get back to that, but you're right. That's fair to mention football. We've had some pretty special moments in football lately too.
Yeah, no doubt. So anything else, any finishing touches?
No, that's it. Appreciate everybody joining us. I got to run for some dinner, but Colby, enjoyed it, and we'll get back with you next week.
Absolutely. Everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy the Final Four on both the women's and the men's side, and we'll be back. Like Carson said, we're on Portal Watch. So everybody have a great weekend. Thanks for listening. As always, go Pokes!